When Young asked for her help, Wiley responded immediately. She was assisted by John Roach from the Department of Labour, who, unbeknown to his boss McBride, gave Wiley a list of the women affected so she could conduct her own investigation. It came not a moment too soon, for on 15th of April 1924, another young woman lost her life. Jenny Stocker, who Dr. Humphreys had been trying to treat for her peculiar knee condition without avail, died suddenly after a short illness at the age of 20. The day after she died, Rhoda kept his appointment with the drinkers. He showed them around the plant, and then they went up to the studio and spoke to several of the women, including Marguerite Carlo. It is surprising that she was in the studio, and not simply because she no longer worked there. Since Christmas Eve 1923, she had been confined to her home, except for her visits to Dr. Barry. It is possible that the company had asked her to come in specially to meet the drinkers, being determined to lay to rest the rumours that Marguerite's work had made her sick. She was accompanied by her sister, Sarah Mylifer, who now walked with a cane. Sarah was still working at the plant as a dial painter. The Carlo family was poor, and with Marguerite no longer able to work and the medical bills mounting, they needed every penny they could get. Sarah's trouble, of course, was very different from that of Marguerite. Evidently, her lame leg was not connected to the awful disease that was plaguing Marguerite's mouth. Dr. Cecil Drinker was a handsome man with abundant fair hair. He introduced himself to Marguerite with immediate concern for her well-being. Her thin face was very pale, and she clutched a bandage to her seeping cheek. She complained of pains in the bones of her face. It was obvious that she was seriously ill. Catherine Drinker turned to Rhoda and told him that the day's tour could not be considered an adequate survey. It was imperative, she said, that the drinkers returned to Orange to make a comprehensive study of the plant and its employees. And so, over 2 days, from 7th to 8th of May 1924, the full drinker study took place. The scientists, now fully read up on all the radium literature, returned to the plant with their colleague Dr. Castle and conducted a detailed investigation. Together, the three doctors inspected all the different facets of the operation, accompanied on their tour by Vice President Veit. They met the chief chemist, Dr. Edwin Lehman, and noted that he had serious lesions on his hands. Yet, when they mentioned them, he scoffed at the possibility of future damage. Perhaps he was mindful of his president's suggestion that an atmosphere of confidence should be promulgated by the plant's top men. Such an unconcerned attitude, the drinkers soon realised, was characteristic of those in authority throughout the plant. There seemed to be, Cecil Drinker later wrote, an utter lack of realisation of the dangers inherent in the material which was being manufactured. Rhoda even told him that no malignant growths ever developed on the basis of radium lesions, a statement so easy to disprove as to be ridiculous. Up in the studio, the doctors carried out thorough medical examinations of the workers. 25 employees were selected as a representative number. One by one, the nominated dial painters knocked nervously on the door of the restroom where the women's tests were held, before being summoned in.